710 WOR.
Well, that's going to be a hot one. It's going to be hot all weekend. So here we go. Summer, yeah. Summer's here for real. 7:05. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing well on a Wednesday. Our big three stories today. The House did pass that resolution condemning the president's racist tweets. Ooh. A couple of Republicans went along, but as we have noted this morning, it's largely symbolic. Also in the big three today is the fifth anniversary of the death of Eric Garner on Staten Island. The Justice Department ruled yesterday they will not pursue charges against police officer Daniel Pantaleo. We shall discuss that story here. We also have Alice Stockton-Rossini on Staten Island at the scene of the crime. She'll report for us later this morning. And rounding out the big three, today's the day El Chapo gets sentenced. And I guess the intrigue is, who's going to speak in court? Now, supposedly one of his victims, I mean, he's got tons of victims.
He does.
Many are not alive, but he's got tons of victims. And he may even speak, they're saying, which would be rather fascinating, because mm-hmm. he did not testify in his own behalf. So
And no one's ever really heard his voice outside of drug cartel people.
Yeah, I guess not.
You probably don't want to hear his voice if you're...
No, if you hear that voice...
Yeah. That's the last voice you're going to hear.
Absolutely.
And of course, once again, I believe this is the final day for this. We've got some Lionel Richie tickets coming your way at 8:30.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
Well, if you're looking for those tickets, hello.
Love Lionel Richie.
Today's the last day. So, the concert is, I think, tomorrow and the next night at Radio City. So mm-hmm. We've got those tickets coming your way. So this, Joe, since you've been following the story for 5 years, anything surprising? You know what? I just think, why did it take so long? Why did it take 5 years? I mean, really? I mean, it just seemed like an awful, awful long time, doesn't it?
Well,
decide all this?
Yes, absolutely. I think it was a hard case to decide because it created so much public uproar that, you know, they wanted to probably bring charges, but they didn't have the evidence to do it, as the prosecutor said yesterday. And so they probably were looking for some way to do something. As opposed to nothing, because it's just this started the whole Black Lives Matter thing.
It did, yeah.
And the other thing too that came out of this is I Can't Breathe thing, and they said it yesterday. When he said I can't breathe, he wasn't in a chokehold.
Right. If you're in a chokehold, you can't talk.
Right. Right.
Well, but he was suffering from asthma.
How's a cop supposed to know?
Exactly.
That?
When you know, if you're being arrested by a cop, if you say I can't breathe, you expect to be let go? Excuse me, I can't breathe. Oh, okay, fine. Right,
get out of here.
Don't do it again.
But you have to admit, no matter what the outcome was, the video's troubling.
I mean, it's an arrest.
An arrest is always going to be troubling.
It's not always.
Yes,
troubling.
They do.
Yes.
Oh, yes, they
really?
Do. When you
they
resist.
They all look like that?
When you resist,
wow.
Yes.
All right, so here's the...
Have you ever seen a guy get arrested?
Yeah, but not like that. There were a lot of cops around him. They were pushing his head into the ground. Anyway, here's...
He was resisting arrest. He was a big guy. There was the potential for real violence there. The cops did not set out to kill him.
Well, that's what they're hanging their hat on with this whole decision. And it was William Barr, the brand new attorney general, who cast the deciding vote. But they were saying you have to prove intent.
Exactly.
As part of this, it was going to be a civil rights violation.
Now, when you say William Barr, you're insinuating that maybe...
I didn't insinuate anything.
Are you saying he's a racist, too?
No, I didn't insinuate anything. He made the final decision. That's where it went.
You going to join the Black Lives Matter march?
No, I happen not to be a Barr fan, but he made the final decision. Hey, here's... this is Richard Donahue, the U.S. attorney.
What all of this means is that even if we could prove that Officer Pantaleo's hold of Mr. Garner constituted unreasonable force, we would still have to prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, that Officer Pantaleo acted willfully in violation of law.
So they're claiming, and I can't argue with him, but they're claiming they have to prove that he intended to
harm
him or kill him.
Right. You have to prove what he was thinking at the time, which is impossible.
I don't think you can.
No.
Here's some more from Donahue.
That the officer acted under color of law. Second, that the officer used objectively unreasonable force under the circumstances. Third, that the officer violated the law willfully. And fourth, that the wrongful conduct caused bodily injury to the victim.
Now, here's the question. Are the Black Lives Matter people going to take to the streets and try to disrupt things?
That's what they say.
But I thought yesterday there'd be much more of a protest than
I agree with Michael. I thought there would have been more of a protest. But there's going to be, what, 4 o'clock today, City Hall, and 6 o'clock Staten Island? I don't know if I'm correct on the City Hall time, but I heard 6 o'clock Staten Island.
There's a couple around the city, yeah. But I think that yesterday they weren't sure what was going to happen. They weren't informed until, 10 o'clock in the morning.
I remember living here in New York when the Rodney King verdict came down.
Yeah,
and everybody I know was working in Times Square in the theater district. People were terrified. All these big white liberals were like, gotta get out of here, gotta get out of here. I remember we were having lunch at Joe Allen when the verdict came down, and this writer I know came in, and his wife, who was a big liberal at the New York Times, she called him terrified that he had to get out of the city because of the King verdict came down, and there were going to be riots.
Oh, you remember Howard Beach, too. There were the big protests after the Howard Beach killing.
Now, I said yesterday, I assumed that Al Sharpton would be heard from, and he was.
Of course.
With us audibly hearing 11 times, I can't breathe, this decision says that the federal civil rights are not protected no matter what the evidence may be.
Well, you're a big Al Sharpton fan, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah. Didn't you say that I wish the Jewish people had an Al Sharpton?
Yes. I have said in the past.
So a man who lied about Tijuana Brawley.
He lied about that. There's no question.
Fine with you? Fine
well,
with you?
But I mean, you're going to hang that, that sounds like Elizabeth Warren. So no matter what she does in her whole life, it's always Pocahontas. I understand he screwed up with Tijuana Brawley. I'm not saying that. I didn't say I was a big Sharpton fan, but I did say when I had an anti-Semitic issue with another radio station personality, mm-hmm. I've always said, I wish I had an Al Sharpton. And I wish, Latin Americans had a Latino Al Sharpton. From that standpoint, I wish there was someone out there, to rattle some cages.
But he's suggesting that they did not get justice here.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to say that.
Well, I understand that. And you also keep in mind that the Garner family was given like $5 million as a settlement here.
Yeah, well, that's aside.
It's not a sign.
It is.
$5 million.
No. But that doesn't prove guilt or innocence of a cop. It doesn't.
Right. But, I mean, so here's the justice. I mean, you went through the system. Just because you didn't get the right outcome doesn't mean it's wrong.
Exactly.
Well, the argument can be made it took 5 years, and why did it take 5 years? You know, they just kept kicking the can down the road. Now, here's some more of Al Sharpton.
The day before the anniversary of this pain that they've had to suffer, a day after his mother and his son and us went to his gravesite to be smacked in the face by this decision.
Well, you can imagine what Gwen Carr was going through. Now, that's the mom, and she was clearly very vocal yesterday.
5 years ago, my son said, I can't breathe 11 times. And today, we can't breathe. That Officer Pandaleo and all the officers who was involved in my son's death that day need to be off the force. The streets of New York City is not safe with them walking around.
So what do you think is going to happen with this department hearing? Because Daniel Pantaleo did go through a department hearing. They still haven't announced decision. He's been on desk duty now for 5 years.
Well, he claims the maneuver he used was something that he was taught in the police academy. If that's the case, then you can't bring charges against him.
Exactly. I think
Mayor de Blasio, do your job. Fire these officers. I'm calling for them to be fired today. Today. You don't have to wait for anything else. You see, the DOJ, they failed us.
Well, City Hall came out with a statement saying the mayor does not have that authority. Yeah. That's up to the police chief.
I'm sure he has influence over.
Do you
the
think
chief.
These protests could get violent?
I hope not.
Nah,
I don't. I don't. So. My gut feeling is no, but I feel their pain. I mean, you got to feel the pain of the mom. Here's the daughter. Emerald Garner, Eric's daughter.
Fire Pantaleo! That's what we're calling for! I don't care who does it! I don't care if the mailman does it! I don't care if the janitor does it! Fire him!
Sounds like a Trump quote.
A little much there, lady.
All right. Well, she's clearly upset.
He was killed on the streets! And this cop is still higher!
Oy.
De Blasio, what's up? When are you going to fire this officer? You have the evidence. You have the evidence. And more evidence than we ever knew got released in this trial.
All right, so as I said, Al Stockton Rossini is on Staten Island. 5 years ago today, this happened. He was selling loose cigarettes. Eric Garner was, and the whole thing escalated from there. We'll see what people on Staten Island think. So we'll get her reaction to that later on this morning.
Absolutely.
Coming up, my question is, do we really need this app? Do you really want to see how old you're going to look decades from now? I don't know if we need this one, but we'll discuss. It's the biggest and most amazing music event of the year, our iHeartRadio Music Festival. The entire world of music heads to Vegas to watch the biggest artists from every genre share one stage for two nights with performances and collaborations never seen before and will never be seen again, starring Alicia Keys and Def Leppard and Heart and Hootie and the Blowfish, and the list goes on and on. More people will be announced. Witness music history September 20th and 21st at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. Tickets at iHeartRadio.com/tickets. And all the information you want is at 710WOR.com.
WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Haven't heard much from our peanut gallery in there this morning. You guys
I don't
awake?
Think, is
Anthony,
Lou, are you guys, is Lou even here?
I don't know. I'm telling you,
I think there's something wrong. Is Lou okay? Our engineer? Just nothing.
Are you guys awake in there? Hello?
What's going on? Oh, Lou waved.
Oh, Lou, he just,
all good.
His head just
sign
popped
of life
up there.
We're
for
busy
a
in here, guys.
I'm intimidated by Michael.
Well, now, see, this is the thing.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Natalie during the break,
right.
And there's a nice woman who works here at iHeart.
Right.
And I said, you know, every time I'm around her, she seems shy and a little frightened.
Really?
And Natalie
Why?
Said, because you're a little intimidating.
You are?
Well,
why is he intimidating?
I asked Anthony if I was intimidating. He said, not in the least.
I don't think you're in the least at all.
You think you're a bundle of smiles when you come up to people all day long?
Yes, I have a joyous personality.
Isn't he like me,
you
Natalie?
Do?
Isn't he like me?
No, you? Really?
Mr. Sue Simmons for years called me Mr. Warmth. She thought I was never happy. I don't know
Oh,
why.
Really?
Oh,
I
should talk
busy
to
at
Sue.
Work. I'm busy at work.
Yeah, well, you have the grumpy quality.
No, I'm busy. I'm tunnel vision. I'm working here, okay? I'm working here.
Grumpy.
He is grumpy.
Oh,
in the morning, especially when we come in.
Remember yesterday?
Boy. Grump.
Oh, stop. Enough about me. Remember
grumpy.
Yesterday?
Grumpy?
The list.
Yeah, there
the
he
list-
is. Yeah, grumpy there.
I'm a dwarf. So,
what did you say? You're a dwarf?
I'm one of the seven dwarfs. Grumpy. So I knew a guy who was grumpy. That was his license plate. And he was just the grumpiest guy. And that was anyway, yesterday, one of our listeners tweeted, because you had used the word quixotic twice.
Right.
And the listener said, does Anthony know what quixotic means? And Anthony said?
He was intimidated.
Anthony said no. Are you there, Anthony? Hello? Is he here?
Hello.
I don't even know if he's here.
We're here.
Yes,
we're
okay.
here.
So anyway, so I have a word for you, Anthony. We're going to do a word of the day. You ready?
Oh, okay, boy.
He's ready.
Okay. Testing Anthony's intelligence.
Okay. The word of the day is...
I guarantee I'm not going to know it. Go ahead.
I guarantee it, too.
Okay. The word of the day is...
Wait. Let me get Google up. Hold on.
Stop. You can't cheat.
I'll just tell you. Don't worry.
The word of the day is... oxymoron.
Oh, I've heard it before.
Stop with the Lou.
Lou's coaching him up.
The opposite of a moron?
No. Not the opposite. It's, did you ever hear the phrase jumbo shrimp?
Yes.
It's when two things are like contradictory.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got it.
That's an oxymoron.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you
I
knew
gotcha.
It.
I got it.
Very good, Anthony. Oxymoron.
This is why people do not like
me. I know, don't point at me.
Word.
It wasn't my idea. That
why
was
are you
your...
pointing at Reno?
You were laughing.
Oh.
But Lou,
Lou's awake now.
Lou,
Lou's awake.
But Len is the one who sprung this thing on Anthony. I had nothing to do with it.
I don't like this segment at all.
You don't like this segment at all? Well,
no.
Nobody asked you. It's like...
Well, what did you get on your verbal SATs?
Yes.
Oh, not so good.
Well, there you go.
Well, let's start giving you a word
let's
of the day.
Let's give Natalie a word of the day.
I won't do it.
She's got one right now. That's
she has a word for us. Yeah,
that's right.
So, like, Walking Dead. That's an oxymoron.
Right.
Okay.
Good. Boy, you are bright.
Thank you.
Now, here's something you'll never need. It's a face app aging filter.
I have to tell you, though.
it shows you what you're going to look like in 20 to 30 years. And so it's not anything that you need on your phone.
It's frightening.
No.
My Facebook feed is filled with really scary pictures of people I know. I'm going through like, oh, boy, what?
What is
they haven't. I haven't seen them in a while, but man, they don't look so good.
So how does this work exactly?
How many decades does it age you? 3 decades?
20 to 30 to 40.
I heard 10, 20, but...
10, 20 years?
Yeah, it's not good.
But all
these
celebrities, are they putting it up or are other people putting it up?
I saw
anybody can do it.
A kid I know did it on his Instagram.
You could get one, maybe
it's pretty cool.
2 to 5.
I'll do you guys today.
Len,
you, all right?
Imagine what
we'll
Len would look like in 20 years.
Boris Karloff.
The word of the day is dead.
All right. So I will find... I will get your guys' pictures.
You're going to get our
pictures?
You're
going to age us?
You can't age Lynn 20 years.
That's really mean, Natalie. You think we're being mean. That's really
no, that's
awful.
Fine. That's terrible.
That's terrible.
Hey, you're the ones who brought it up. You want to see how it works? We'll show you.
You have the app?
It's super easy, yeah.
All right, show us. I want to see what Rita looks like in 30 years.
You know, I'm probably the same. People say I haven't aged. People have known me in my whole life say you never age.
Wow.
I am Dorian Gray.
I think your friends just
You know who Dorian Gray is, Anthony? All right, let's get the news now at 7:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
El Chapo expected to get life in prison when he is sentenced in Brooklyn federal court this morning. He was convicted of running a massive criminal enterprise that included murders and drug smuggling. His attorney, Jeffrey Lichtman.
We were all honored to represent Joaquin Guzman, and we're all honored to be a part of a historical trial.
I'm sure they were. Prosecutors have demanded $12 billion in restitution, which they say is a conservative estimate of how much he smuggled. The family of Eric Garner promising 11 days of protests upset after federal prosecutors decided not to bring charges against police officer Daniel Pantaleo for Garner's death. Reverend Al Sharpton says they want justice.
The day before the anniversary of this pain that they've had to suffer, a day after his mother and his son and us went to his gravesite to be smacked in the face by this decision.
They are calling for Pantaleo to be fired. Police Commissioner James O'Neill will make that decision at the end of August following a departmental trial. It was 5 years ago today that Garner died. Well, the House has approved a resolution condemning President Trump for his attack on the so-called squad, those four Democratic congresswomen. He told them to go back to their country. He's not backing down. He says the squad said hateful things about the country. Four Republicans joined the Democrats in voting for that resolution. And one of the squad members is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but she now has a Republican challenger. Sherry Murray, a businesswoman who immigrated.
Sherry Murray?
Sherry Murray. Hey, come on, you got to support Sherry Murray here, Michael.
Sounds like a Barbie doll.
She emigrated from Jamaica as a child. She's a businesswoman here in New York, has announced her intention to run as a Republican.
Well, that'll go far.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Goodbye, Sherry. Sherry, you're going to lose to AOC.
Well, in her Sherry, announcement, baby. She says, there's a crisis in Queens, and it's called AOC. Instead of focusing on us, she's focusing on being famous.
She All is. Right.
Finally.
Bye-bye, Sherry.
Disney is spying on you. The theme park's magic bands, you know, those things you put on that you can kind of go into the rides. You don't have to have a big hit. Allow you to reserve times at rides, reduce your waiting time and overcrowding. But now Bloomberg is reporting they monitor everything you do. Probably should have expected it. But anyway, now it's official. Not only does it keep track of what rides and attractions you're visiting, it collects data on what you're buying, how much you're spending, and which Disney characters are your favorite. But Disney says the magic bands have helped keep the parks running with extreme efficiency.
All right. Thank you, Joe Bartlett. When we get back, we'll check in with National Review editor Rich Lowry. What does he make of Trump's alleged racist tweets? Hey, committing to building my immune system and improving my overall health has been really easy thanks to Balance of Nature. Real 31 whole ripened fruits and vegetables grounded into a capsule that give me 10 plus servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. Now, Balance of Nature wants to give WOR and iHeartRadio listeners their best offer ever, but for a limited time, 30% off your first order with free shipping with the promo code WOR. Take advantage of this limited time offer of 30% off and free shipping. Give Balance of Nature a call at 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751 and use the promo code WOR. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use the promo code WOR to get 30% off your free shipping plus your first order for free shipping for a limited time. They'll even put you in touch with a healthcare coach if you got any questions about Balance of Nature. So take advantage of this offer. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code WOR.
710 WOR.
You know, everyone thinks Natalie is sweet, the sweet producer. Mm-hmm. She is one nasty. We were talking about this app. Where you it's the latest rage, you know, latest internet thing. You put your picture in there, and there's an app, and it'll show you what you look like in 30 years.
Yes.
Natalie's keeled over in laughter at how awful Riedel and I look.
Wow,
Loud laughter. She thinks it's the funniest thing. First of all,
that app took away your teeth.
Yours too, man.
That app, and your hair. That app made me look like my grandmother.
No,
it made Natalie thought it was hilarious.
It made you look like Norman Bates' mother in Psycho. That's what it made
and you
look like.
You say you never changed. Oh, man.
I don't know what happened. I looked like I look like the heat miser from The Year Without a Santa Claus.
He looks like he'd walk on the subway car and everyone would get up. Take my seat,
you
got
to do that to yourself, though, Natalie.
Yeah. If you post us, you have to post yourself.
Yeah, you got to post yourself.
Maybe. I'll see.
Well, no, maybe.
I'll think about it.
Come on, Grandma.
She's not going to do it.
You're so vain.
All right. Well, she's going to post these. You're going to post them on ours.
She's still looking at them.
No, she's laughing. Stand up.
Are you going to post on Twitter or on our website?
We're going to put them on Twitter.
On Twitter, at Len Michael WR.
Yes.
If you want to get a good laugh this morning.
When she's done laughing.
If she ever gets done laughing.
You know, we tell people about this app that's all the rage, and it's only our obligation to try it out ourselves.
Yes. We do look like.
And why are you laughing so hard at us?
I'll tell you, Len, you look adorable. You are like the grandpa that everybody would want
to
have.
We both look like grannies who should be drinking elderberry wine or something.
Michael looks like a guy you'd see roaming on the city streets that you're going to go to the other side of the street when he's coming
by.
He's
like a homeless guy wandering down the street. Hilarious.
Thanks a lot, Mrs. Bates.
Check it out, Len Michael WR. Can we get serious for a second? Because we've got a big shot on the phone.
We do.
We've got Rich Lowry. He's the editor of the National Review. Good morning, Rich. What's doing?
Hey, how are you?
We're doing great. Obviously, the big story that everyone's yapping about is the Fab Four, the squad, and the president, and was he racist, and the House passing a resolution, which definitely means nothing. And what's your take on all this, Rich?
Well, I mean, they're monumentally stupid and malicious tweets and extremely unpresidential. And that word has sort of lost some of its charge, unpresidential, but it's just a president shouldn't cause unnecessary melodrama and toxic debate in the country. I mean, you looked at the House floor yesterday, and at times they're on the verge of a meltdown. You know, you had the chair abandoning the Democratic chair who is presiding over this debate, abandoning the chair and throwing down the gavel, which some people think has never happened in the history of the House of Representatives.
Wow.
And why? Why? You know, it's entirely unnecessary because of these witless tweets that, you know, may have kind of a sort of a lizard-brained logic to them. You know, in causing this debate and causing Nancy Pelosi to embrace the squad, at least for now. But it was just this, that's just not any way that for a president to conduct himself. So I found it very depressing.
But Rick, it could work, because if the face of the Democratic Party becomes the squad, I think a lot of people, especially voters in swing states, are going to be terrified of those people.
Yeah, definitely. But there are ways to elevate them without doing this, you know, and the tweets were indefensible. I don't like Ilhan Omar. I think she's a poisonous ingrate. I think there are about 1,000 criticisms you can make of her, and I would agree with 999 of them. But you can't say that her three native born colleagues should go back to their country. I mean, it's completely indefensible. So yes, there may be some political upside to elevating these folks, but there would have been other ways of elevating them. And I thought prior to this, the way Trump was playing it was kind of clever. You know, he was defending Nancy Pelosi against the charge that she was a racist, which was kind of a trolling thing to do. At the same time, it was like a defensible thing to do. It was actually correct. She's not a racist, and these women were being ridiculous, and they had this circular firing squad going, and you know, just Trump being Trump, he can't help himself. He's got to get in the middle of everything. So he got in the middle of that firing squad.
We're on with Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review, who is I'm a little surprised to see you so vociferous against the tweets of Donald Trump. But you said there's no upside for Trump. Is there any downside with his base? There's no downside for him, is there?
No. I mean, no one's going to that was with him is going to abandon him over this. But I think it's a mistake just to think the election is going to be all about the base. Obviously, both sides getting their bases out is going to be huge, but there's still these swing voters, and they're marginal Trump supporters who voted for him right at the end, came home, just traditional Republicans, a lot of them in the suburbs, came home right at the end of 2016, were never with Trump until like the last 10 days when he acted a little bit normal, you know, had a really good last debate with Hillary, and couldn't abide the idea of Hillary Clinton being president. So he needs those people. You know, I don't know how many there are, but he's going to need them again this time. And it just, every one of these controversies, none of them is fatal, but everyone just sort of adds to their distaste for him. So I just think if he dialed it back like 30%, he'd still be Donald Trump. He'd still be completely distinct. Still be a radioactive figure who courts controversy the way no one else has. But he would have a better chance of keeping those voters on side.
Well, here's a question though for you, Rich. These swing voters. Now, yes, they may find Trump's behavior appalling, but if the Democrats nominate, let's say, Elizabeth Warren, aren't these people moderate, maybe right-leaning, and they're going to say, you know what, I can't stand Trump so much, I'm going to vote for a woman who wants to take away my private health insurance, who wants to give free health care to illegal immigrants, and who wants to go after capitalists. They would really swing that far to the left just because of their disdain or this distaste for Trump?
No, and I mean, this is the great hope, right? They nominate someone like Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris, and Trump can destroy that person. And that's why, even though usually a president polling where the president is in terms of his approval, low 40s, you're like, that guy, he's not getting reelected. But Trump got elected in 2016 with approval ratings in the low 40s. So there's no reason to think that he can't do it again. And the strategy is absolutely clear. It's not to really improve his image very much. It'll be to destroy the image of whoever is arrayed against him. And it'll be easier, as you point out, the further left that person is.
Hey, Rich, before we run, we have about a minute left. Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review. If you were Donald Trump, which Democrat would you be most afraid of to face in the general?
It's a really good question. I got to think Biden, although I still, you know, the reason that I hesitate a little about that is I just think inspiring people is like really important in politics, always has been. You look at both Obama in 08 and Trump in 16, it kind of came out of nowhere to win their nominations and become president. It's because they inspire this passionate support. And I just don't see Biden doing that in the primaries. I don't see him doing that in a general. So that's why on paper, Biden seems like the kind of guy they should nominate. I just wonder whether in reality it'll really be true. Besides that, you know, I would say someone like an Amy Klobuchar, someone like a Michael Bennett. But again, they have to, you know, have to win a nomination, which means they have to inspire that kind of passionate support. And it's kind of doubtful all three of those.
Hey, Rich, always a pleasure. Thanks, Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review. Talk to you soon, Rich.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, coming up next, we have the Emmy nominations are out. Records were set, and maybe more records will be broken. That's coming up next.
The iHeartRadio app has become number one for podcasts with a catalog that has exploded to over 250,000 of the best podcasts from around the globe. iHeartRadio now lets you follow podcasts to get real-time updates when new episodes drop. Plus, you can set your podcast to auto-download episodes so you'll never, ever miss one. And all of it is yours for free. Get the entire universe of audio with just one touch. Your music, your stations, and now number one in podcasting.
WOR.
Well, the Emmy nominations are out, and Game of Thrones picked up a record-busting 32 nominations. It beat out NYPD Blue, which back in 1994 had 26 nominations. So everybody thinks Game of Thrones, even though a lot of people who watched that did not like the final season, but everybody thinks Game of Thrones is poised to pick up all the big awards, the Emmys, which will be in September.
You You predicted that too, Michael.
I did.
We did a bonus segment yesterday, which we always tape a bonus segment, which you can catch on our website.
Right.
And you said, hey, Game of Thrones is going to get all the nominations.
Yep. Well, HBO led all of the networks with 137 wow. nominations, because it also got them for Veep, well ahead of Netflix 117. Now, the interesting thing is, you got to scroll down in any story to find out where the old dinosaur networks are. And it appears that NBC, I guess, is the best network with 14 or 15 nominations.
No, they got more than that.
They got, yeah, oh, yeah. No,
I thought they were in the 50s.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's dwarfs, still dwarfed 137 for
Netflix
HBO.
Had 117. Yeah. HBO had, yeah, you're right, 137.
Yeah.
I don't see the, I had it somewhere, the NBC. But listen to this. This just tells you the state of television today. Outstanding drama series. Now, how many of these have you watched?
All right.
Better Call Saul.
Nope.
AMC. Bodyguard, Netflix.
Yes, I love Bodyguard.
Game of Thrones, HBO.
No.
Killing Eve. I know that's a big one.
Yeah, my girlfriend
AMC,
loves that.
BBC
yeah.
America. Ozark.
No, never
Pose
seen.
On FX. Succession on HBO. And you have to get to the very last one of the 2, 4, 6, 8. This Is Us on NBC. That's,
oh,
I
wow.
watched that one.
Oh, you
that's
did.
It, so that's an NBC.
You're a Mrs. The Marvelous Mrs.
Marvelous
Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel.
That's one of your yeah. favorite shows.
Got a lot of nominations. And and the thing that really will be interesting to me is if Julia Louis-Dreyfus
mm-hmm.
Wins for Veep. Veep is wonderful. She has won 8 Emmys as a performer, 2 for Seinfeld and 6 for Veep.
Right.
She's tied with Cloris Leachman for 8. That's
oh,
the most.
Really? Cloris, yeah, Cloris Leachman from Mary Tyler Moore?
Yeah, and then she had her own show after that. But she had 8.
What was Cloris Leachman's show called after that?
Probably Cloris. I don't know. What was the
no,
name
it
of
was
show?
The character Phyllis. Because
oh,
she played Phyllis in the yeah. Thank You, Lou, our TV expert.
I just remember that there was a funny scene with Shrimp. Where it just struck me as funny. Whatever. She was like this. Well,
can you explain the
well,
scene?
She was serving some appetizers, and a clearly vertically challenged person came into her house, and she picked up the platter and said, "Shrimp?" And it just, I don't know. It just hit you. It hit me. Obviously, I remembered it. Anyway, you didn't care for that, huh? All right, whatever. Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
Did you hear about Bruce Springsteen?
Is he talking to himself this
I
morning,
am.
Natalie?
Hello. Did you see what I look like when I'm old?
Oh.
Natalie put out the pictures of what we... There's a new app.
I know.
What we look like when we're old. And I tweeted that Natalie is a cruel and vicious producer. But you know what? A listener saw this on our Twitter handle, Frankie,
uh-huh.
and wrote, LOL, oh my God, Michael, you look like a wet pigeon. So I...
Well, you look like Norman Bates' mother, and she was a corpse.
I gave you a compliment. I thought you looked like a nice little grandpa.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and but what did you say about me?
You look like a creepy guy walk on the other side of the street, too.
All right, back to the Emmys.
That's
NBC
happening.
Had 58 nominations. So, that was respectable. Now, Natalie just mentioned, that's a great story, Bruce Springsteen has a chance if he wins an Emmy to get the EGOT because he's won
right.
a Grammy, he's won an Oscar.
Yeah, we gave him an Oscar,
and he's won a Tony.
Tony, yeah,
yeah, he's won.
Well,
all
I think
those.
We gave. Well, no, he has a Tony. We gave him a special Tony.
He got a special Tony,
but it still counts as a Tony.
It still counts as a Tony, and I think there's a category of people who've won special awards, okay. you know, instead of.
So what's the Oscar he won?
He must have had a theme to
he
something.
He did. He, I think, one of his songs, Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
That's a beautiful
yeah.
song.
Yeah.
So he's got that. And
well,
then,
there's an Emmy nomination Tuesday for Netflix's Springsteen on Broadway. Mm-hmm. So he's won a Tony. He's won 20 Grammys and an Oscar. So yeah, we just need this to join the coveted EGOT. Oh, you're right. He Springsteen won an Oscar in 1994 for Best Song, Streets of Philadelphia, from the movie Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's the one Tom Hanks won the Oscar.
Well, some of the other EGOTs are Marvin Hamlish.
Right.
He's Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno.
There are 15 of them.
She's
the name of all.
Robert Lopez, who wrote the score
yes.
to Frozen
right.
and the Book of Mormon.
How about your good buddy is on the
Scott
list?
Scott Rudin is on the list.
No.
Scott
Rudin's
not on the list?
No. Your good buddy.
Hugh Jackman?
No.
No.
Peter Falk?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, yeah, of course, Andrew. I forgot. Andrew
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey
Mel
Hepburn.
Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Rodgers. Helen Hayes. Marvin Hamlish, you mentioned. Tim Rice.
Oh, yeah, another friend of mine.
Yeah.
Impress, Len? Where's the name dropper cue?
Name dropper!
When you have to beg for it.
You going to watch the Emmys, Len?
I like the Emmys. Who's hosting this year? When's this on?
They're not sure they're going to have a host.
A host? Why a
really?
Hostless Emmys?
Yeah, they were debating whether or not to have a host.
Why would they have a hostless Emmys? You need someone as the glue.
Don't they rotate this? Who's carrying it this year? It's on in September, you said, right?
Yeah.
I thought it rotates among the networks, no?
But you know who won't be hosting is Julia Roberts because she was snubbed.
Mm-hmm. So was George Clooney. A lot of big names were snubbed.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, when we get back, it's Trump versus the squad, those four lefties who hate America. Who would you put your money on in this knife fight, Len?
My money?
Yeah.
It's to battle Trump, but these, I'm telling you, this fearsome foursome, they're looking pretty sharp.
All right, we'll discuss when we get back, but first let's get the news. 8 o'clock.